Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are. It's 2/10/2015. We're almost through February. I don't know.
We find it very funny that time goes by so fast, don't we?
It just flies.
Is it always moved this fast or just with DH Unplugged?
I think with DH Unplugged, because we're a quick moving show.
Is that what it is? Yeah. Fast moving, fast pace. Here we go. You have a good week?
I believe I did.
Well, check and then let me know.
Okay, I will.
So some interesting action in the markets of late. We saw that there was that drop off in January, just like we saw last year. And then February came around and everybody's like, hey, I got an idea. Let's start buying stocks. Even though we have geopolitical issues all over the place. We can name those and talk about those. Earnings disappointments left and right. China is slowing down. We saw that in China, their manufacturing is in contraction. We saw that inflation is the highest or the lowest it's been in 5 years. We see that Greece is in, out, in, out, in, out. And interestingly enough, with all this going on, Europe stocks are probably the best out there. You wouldn't think that European stocks would be the best with all that's going on. But that's the power of the central banks.
Yeah, it could be. Might be right. I should start looking at those. We should find some winners.
Yep. The S&P, we're going to bet on central banks. Maybe we could option them. The S&P is now at the highest level this year so far. And some of this is probably due to the weighting of Apple, which is now at an all-time high. The first company ever to reach $700 billion in capitalization.
Yeah. Well, it'll be a trillion-dollar company someday soon.
That's amazing. It's remarkable. I had an idea today, and I tweeted this. I said that maybe Apple should buy Greece.
They could.
Take us out of our misery. We'll get the iGyro out of it.
Is that even pronounced gyro?
Oh, iGyro, yeah.
Yeah.
How great would that be? Get all that Greek coffee that you could chew on. You ever have Turkish coffee?
Turkish, yeah.
It's kind of chewy.
Well, they leave the stuff in it. That's why. The grounds are in the cup of coffee.
Yeah. Are they lazy?
Just swirl it around at the end and you down it.
It's so harsh. So earthy.
Yeah. Well, it's good if you get good coffee. I mean, you have to find somebody that's got some good coffee to make.
Well, I had it in Greece, actually, which I thought was, and I had it in Morocco. But the best coffee is Vietnam. Yeah, that's the best coffee out there.
Yeah, you haven't been to Indonesia, have you?
Yes, I have.
Been to Malaysia.
Bali.
Well, the coffee there is fantastic.
Yes. Well, I had in Bali, I had the civet coffee, which is where the civet.
Oh, yeah. You talked about that on the show.
Yeah, we don't want to talk about
that. That's disgusting.
Poopy coffee. Well, at least I didn't have the. In Vietnam, they're using elephants.
What?
Yep. So they thought that, I guess, that because the civet naturally eats the coffee bean and then poops it out and they could clean it up and roast it and all that, it was so great. Why not take that and supersize it?
Yeah, that would be it. An elephant can probably eat a lot more coffee than a cat.
Yeah, but it wasn't natural for the elephant. Now you have all these elephants that are like all hyped up all the time, I guess.
Knocking over trees.
Right, exactly. And then these poor guys, I don't know who has this job. My job is, what's your job? My job is, I'm in the coffee business. Really? What do you do? I take the coffee out of the elephant's shit and then clean it. That's got to be ugly. Civet, at least, is probably more reasonable.
I filtered the dung.
So we see that Greece is, the drama there is continuing. Remember something that, how do you say this? Tsipras, the opposition party who won?
Yeah.
He's now sticking with his pre-election pledge to increase minimum wages, to get out of the bailout terms. And this is something that would break the covenants on his bailout, on the bailout agreement that he had, well, that Greece had.
Yes.
So Greece stocks were tumbling, banks were tumbling, all this is bad. So today there was some inkling, I don't know where, that there could be some type of maybe a compromise. Now, Germany comes out at 2:45 and says, nope.
Yeah. No, Germany was dead set against any discussion.
Yeah.
We are not discussing this.
Right. One of the other things that Greece wants is they want reparations from the Nazi Germany occupation. Hey, like
oh,
that.
That's a new one. Yeah. I missed that.
Oh, yeah. He says we should have reparations of.
That's a gem. That'll give the Germans a little kick in the butt.
Right. So now Greece is sitting there going, you know what? We only have money up until maybe the end of February into March. We're thinking, by the way, while we're going through this process of deciding whether we're going to screw you or not, Can you do me a favor and give me about $9 billion in a bridge loan?
Sounds like a Silicon Valley company.
These guys are unbelievable, aren't they?
It's definitely, they have their nerve.
Yeah, we talked about what the problem is, and this is the potential economic downfall, and what's going to happen here is that if you have Greece getting some kind of, you know, benefit, if maybe they write down the bonds, get an elongation of their, or deferment of interest due, more money, Spain, Italy, Portugal can be lining right up.
Really? Oh, yeah. No, that they're, you can be sure that Spain and Portugal are keeping a close eye on this.
Right. So markets rallied in the afternoon because this is so exciting. And then, as I mentioned, at 2:45, Wolfgang Schäuble said, there will not be any quick resolution to the latest version of the debt crisis here. Not happening. You got to love these guys. They're bullshit meter is so high here.
Yeah.
Way up there. And the Greek markets were up about 7.5%, and everybody's happy, happy. So, okay, what are you going to do? Now, we talked about a lot of things that are happening. One of the things that's happening is the budget, Obama's budget, right? He had the 529 plans that he said, hey, you know what? We're going to start taxing those. And then said, maybe that's not such a good idea a week later. But you know one of the things?
Got the feedback on that for sure.
Yeah, of course. Everybody's going crazy about that. Stupid plan. Now, another part of the plan that I heard about, and I got to research this, but you know, when someone dies, and let's say you have a stock. Let's say you bought the stock 20 years ago at $20 a share. Now this stock is trading at $100 a share. Well, what happened is that you would get the opportunity to get what's called a step-up in basis. Okay? So the step-up in basis would allow you to basically get a, upon the date of death, you get the valuation of the stock at that point so that if you sold it after you inherited it, you would pay only a small amount of tax. So the basis was stepped up to the date of death. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so.
They're thinking about doing away with that too.
What?
They're thinking about doing that too.
Huh. Well, that's going to get some complaining.
Yep. And it's, of course, it's all about, it's only the rich that have stocks.
So well, that's not true.
Of course it's not true.
Most of the stocks are owned by institutions.
Right, that's of course the case too. But those individuals,
which is a lot of retirement funds, which is the public.
Yeah, and if you start doing this, though, there's going to be all of a sudden a major change because it's a problem.
You know, if you want to tax the rich more, like they keep saying, they talk a big game about this, just create a wealth tax and just do away with the IRS and make a wealth tax based the same way that they do property taxes. And then people like Bill Gates and Warren Buffett, who keep saying, they keep complaining that they want to be taxed more, they can get taxed on based on their huge amount of wealth. That'd be great.
Yeah. I don't want to be taxed more.
You wouldn't be taxed more. You don't have enough. You're not rich enough to where it kicks in, where you start to hurt.
Not there. Okay, good.
Yeah, I think it the way I see in these calculations for wealth tax, unless you've got like, I don't know, $10 million just sitting around.
Ooh, I'm edgy. I'm close.
Well, you're not there, though.
No.
And then it only kind of evens out about there. Then it's only the guys who got the, like, $100 million and up.
Yeah. And when I say close, I mean theoretically, hopefully close. One day.
Well, good for you.
One in a distant future. And maybe even another life.
Well, that's close enough.
So I want to mention something. A couple of days ago, this is a good educational piece about how the markets work. So a few days ago, somebody mentioned to me, you know, he says, through a whole story, there's a stock and somebody mentioned to me. And how weird that when this stock, this other guy mentioned to me, there's somebody that's totally unrelated, mentioned this other stock, this whole thing going on. I watched the stock for a few days. Not much was going on with it. Then boom, up 30% today. And just out there, it was a pharmaceutical that had a successful completion of an interim analysis of a phase 3 trial. Hmm. So that tells you the story, doesn't it?
Yeah, somebody knew about this in advance.
Yeah.
Rumor went around, a whole bunch of people bought.
Yeah. I'm not going to mention the
stock. Did you buy any?
I bought some today, actually, on the move up. Because I saw that two things happened. I saw this trial that came through, and also there was another news item that came through. So I figured, you know what, a little piece of this, I'll take some.
I lost my ass on a play like that once.
Well, did you take it after it started moving or before?
Before.
That's why I watched it for a couple of days. I should have bought it before. It would be great. But again, you know, you hear about these things all the time.
You can lose your money that way.
Yeah, you hear about this all the time.
It's like going to the horse track. you know, there's always these guys that got tips. They, this horse, this is a mutter. This horse can really do it. And, you know, you lose. You just can't win.
Yep. So let's see what else we have. Oh, let's see here. GoPro. Oh. GoPro. Nice. Came out with earnings last week.
Who's this?
GoPro.
Oh, yeah, your buddies.
Remember the thesis on GoPro? It was they're going to have a great holiday, like unbelievable holiday, and then that's it. And that's it. It's all over. One hit wonder kind of thing.
Right. That's what your theory was.
So, and I said, you know, I'm going to probably want to, I would want to bet the house or short this in February, March, after the earnings come out because, well, you know, I thought that was going to be a big buildup. Well, the stock came down a lot before the earnings. Then the earnings come out, the stock is halted for news. Start looking.
That's always a bad sign.
Bad sign. So I'm thinking, oh, boy, what's going on here? So, and we're short. I'm short this position. And stock comes out with the earnings that looked pretty darn good. Pretty darn good. Beat by 20 cents or 25 cents. Revenues were great. Everything was like great. I'm like, wow. Oh, boy. So the stock opens up eventually up about 17% higher. Twitter was the same day Twitter came out. And it's moving. It comes down to 15% or so. And it's, you know, I'm thinking, man, why is this stock not really acting? It should be holding here. Now it's only up 10% or so. You can't get any shares short at this point because none available on my system. I would have shorted again. Can't get any more shares. Okay.
We would have been able to get shares when I shorted it when it was 92.
Yeah, well, in the game, you can get as many shares short as you want. In real life, sometimes...
Well, that's true. You don't even know if you can get the shorts in our game or... Sketchy.
Yeah, well, usually they're okay. I mean, a lot of times when I'll short
IBM
something...
IBM is a good one. You can always short that.
You can short that. Plenty of shares available. So I go and I look to short. Can't short it. Okay, it's after hours. You can't do any options on it. Fine. I watch it. Now it's only up like, I don't know, 10%. Start looking like, whoa, man, this is a big beat. This is not good. I tweet it out there saying, hey, things are a little shaky here. This is not looking really great from the action, what I'm seeing. Find out. The next news item comes out, their next quarter earnings are going to be a catastrophe.
Wow. So they themselves created a whipsaw.
Yep. Stock then was...
That was all about.
Stock was down 13%.
Huh.
Well, they came out with the news. That was the whole point. They halted the stock to disseminate news. The first news that came out, which is the standard, usually that comes out is the current earnings. And then what you'll have after that is the guidance. And the guidance really came out after plus in the conference call.
What was the time lag between earnings announcement and guidance? Was it enough to bail?
Yeah. Because it was, but when it opened up, it was up 17%. You could have
That would have created enough of an uptick to get out.
Oh, yeah. You could have gotten out. No problem. In the after hours, of course.
Yeah, if you knew.
And then it slipped, and then it ended up down the next day 13%. I think the next day it was down 4% or something like that. And then it was down another 2% today. I think it's at 44-ish.
Yeah, something like that.
So it's interesting because they're really, now there's a big question mark on this whole thing. Now, we closed our position at about 45, I think it was, when there was some support there that I thought would hold a bit. So right now, we'll see. I mean, there should be a little bit of a bounce coming here because it's one of those go-go names everybody's still excited about. But now the big question is going to be, you know, moving forward, is this going to be a company that just goes down to a very low value because they
you
really
mean
have
50 cents?
I don't know about 50 cents. How about $10? What do you think?
Yeah, I think I'm always a big believer. I guess I'm not enough of an optimist to see a lot of these stocks. I think a lot of these stocks that are out there are really $2 stocks that should be traded, you know, in the over-the-counter OTC bulletin board stock, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, this stock, it only has that,
one
deal.
Not that company in particular, because a lot of people buy that device, but, not impressed.
I did like the update they have for the software. One of the things I didn't like was when you turn the camera upside down, for example, you want to, you're holding the camera, you're doing your thing, and then you turn upside down maybe to shove it in the water, or I don't know what you're doing with it, okay? You had to edit it afterwards and flip it. Well, the new software automatic, or you know, there's a software update for the camera. The new software does an automatic flip when it goes upside down, kind of like the iPhones do.
Hmm.
You can never get the iPhones to do an upside down thing, you know, unless you flip it yourself. But that's good because it was a pain in the neck.
Well, whatever. I don't have one of them.
I like it. I've used it three times, and now it's just sitting
in the
corner.
You can use any pocket camera to do the same thing.
Well, you can't throw the iPhone in the water. You probably wouldn't want to take an iPhone.
You could take one of the. Wait.
Yes.
You could. There's a process. You can. It costs, I don't know, $100 or something like that. I've seen it. I saw it at trade shows. It's a process where they soak the iPhone in some chemical.
Yeah.
That seals it.
Right.
So it's completely waterproof, and that and you wouldn't know the difference. It's exactly the same, except it's got some sort of coating now. You could throw that phone in the water.
Although, yes, you could throw it in the water. I don't know if you could take it 20 or 30 feet down with the pressure.
I don't know.
I don't know either. I'm just saying. So, now Twitter came up with earnings. They lost like 3 million users. Did you see this whole story about with Dick Costello about all these loss of average monthly users? Same kind of thing that happened last quarter. They lost all these members and they blamed it on Apple.
What they blame it on Apple for?
Something about the iOS update where there was some automatic synchronization with blah, 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 blah with the Twitter, and now it's not there, and now the people didn't have the access as easily to it.
So they quit.
So people just didn't use it anymore. How lame is that? If it's such a great product, people would figure
out a
way.
Very lame. I use it online. I don't even. I mean, I do have it on my phone for certain uses, but generally speaking, it's never synced right. It's messages are from the wrong time, and I don't like it.
I use it only on the iPhone. But the stock moved up about 17% that night. Everybody was excited because advertising was up, which, by the way, talks to right what we talked about, how you know the feed has all these advertisements in it and less users. I have to kind of go through there and try to figure out how to delete the advertisers every time. So that makes sense then if you think that the flow through was that they have a lot more advertising revenue, right?
Okay.
And a lot less users. So stock was up 17%. I still think it's overvalued, so I entered a short on it today.
Yeah, I see it's on the list of for today's stock list too. Yep.
I think that this is very well overvalued. I think that it was played up, a lot of shorts came in. But if they're losing that kind of, you know, if they're losing users like that, and if
a lot of users are phony users too, there's a ton of them on there,
of course, or people that don't actually use it ever. They signed up one time and that's it, done.
Right. There's a lot of that.
Right.
In fact, every once in a while I look somebody up and there they are. They got two followers and there's an egg for their picture and they got their name and everything there, but they've obviously tweeted in 2013. Oh, I'm starting to use Twitter now, and that's their last tweet.
Yep. So I don't think there's a lot to... Do you like the company? Do you like the whole idea? Do you think it's a long-term, it's going to be here forever?
Well, I use it, and I think it's a good way to do messaging, and I think it's a good way to follow certain news stories. Like I just found out, because I checked Twitter before I went on the show here, that Jon Stewart quit.
What?
See?
What?
Twitter got me that news before anybody
else. Why would he quit? He's the best.
He's sick. Sick of it.
Really? What are you sick of?
He's sick of making all that money, I guess. I don't know. He's just tired. Everyone's quitting, so he might as well quit too.
Maybe he was mad about the Brian Williams.
That he didn't get the job?
Yeah.
No, I think he was. I think he maybe was a little irked by what's the name of his partner that was doing the other show? I don't know why his name eludes me.
What other show?
The one after the
Oh, Colbert?
Comedy Central. Yeah, Colbert. When Colbert got the Letterman job, I think, that probably annoyed him and then bailed out. And so that's some lost income there. And then, of course, Letterman's quitting. And Letterman's the one who produces the Jon Stewart show. And, now Letterman's not going to be hands off or who knows, or Stewart's going to have to produce it himself, or I don't know.
Well, the problem is Stewart can't go on regular television.
No, he wants to be a movie director.
Oh, that makes sense.
He did a movie, and it came out pretty well, and he kind of enjoyed the process. And I think he's going to do movies.
Hmm. All right, move over Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, well, it'll take a while before he gets to that level, but he can do little low-budget stuff.
Yeah.
And it's probably fun.
I wonder who's going to take that over, if there is anybody.
They may put somebody else in there. Why not?
Do you watch, not Late Night, but do you watch Johnny Carson, whatever it's called now, the Tonight Show?
Yeah.
He's great, isn't he?
Rarely. I don't think so, no.
You don't think he's funny?
I think he's a good mimic, and he does a lot of comedic stuff that's good. Yeah. And his writers have improved a lot because it's top-drawer writers. but I don't see him ad-libbing it. He just laughs at everything.
He does laugh a lot.
I find him extremely annoying because when I had a guest on, he just cracks up like it's the funniest thing he's ever heard in his life.
Yeah.
And he never stops.
Yeah, he does laugh a lot. The other guy from Saturday Night Live that took over Conan, like, was it late night or he took over Conan's job?
Yeah.
He's terrible. Did you ever like Conan O'Brien, by the way?
I've always thought it was interesting intellectually because Conan, especially when he was with Andy Richter,
They
did a lot of sketches and crazy things that were pretty meta and over the top, mostly mocking the other shows. And I enjoyed that. But I don't really tune in to listen to these guys. I think their monologues are generally okay because they got a writing staff of 10 guys who can usually come up with enough material to do a 10-minute monologue.
Right.
And, Fallon, same thing. He's okay with monologues, fair. And Letterman's, they're all just these shows are all kind of cookie cutters. I don't think much of them.
Well, that's why Jon Stewart was so great.
Yeah, but, Jon Stewart is, I don't watch Jon Stewart. I only watch Jon Stewart during the election cycle.
Of course. It makes it fun.
He's really funny during the election. Right. Like the rest of the time, it's just, I think the Oliver show is good. The one that's on, I guess, Showtime. John Oliver went over and does his own thing called Last Week Tonight or something like that. And I think that's pretty funny. And he's very, 12 writers, I think, I counted, or more. 12 writers to do a half an hour, you can get some pretty good material crammed in there.
Yeah. Well, I have a quick shout out. I got a text. Josh Levin, hello. There you go. There's a shout out. Just got a text. Somebody told me to shout that out.
He can't be listening. We don't do the show live.
We don't?
No.
Yeah. Oh, well. Okay. Now, Citigroup is predicting that oil could drop to $20 or so. Now, what's happening is... Good. Yep, that would be great. By the way, did you see how fast gas prices went up?
I didn't.
Oh, you didn't notice that? I saw 204 for a couple of days. Now it's like 240. And this is... Huh. This is what is that? That's 20%? About
20%. Now it's 269.
By you, it is. But
you're talking about gasoline. I'm looking at natural gas.
Oh, no.
Our gas prices, I think you can get regular for $2.99.
$2.99. Yeah, we could get. I was getting it for $2.04.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
And then it went to $2.40, like overnight, as oil prices went up. They come down very slowly, gas prices, with the with oil. But that's the way it is.
You got to sell inventory before you can change the price.
Yeah. So now companies in the U.S. energy sector, in the shale and fracking, are starting to sell off materials and machinery to keep themselves afloat. Maybe on Craigslist or something. I don't know where they're selling it.
Yeah.
Selling all sorts of stuff. Now, Halliburton announced it's cutting as much as 8% of its global workforce, more than 80,000. So we're talking about 6,000 or 7,000 people they're going to be laying off, as it now has the problems with the low oil prices and bringing its job reductions. Everybody's laying off. And the last jobs number that we saw last week, we moved up slightly to a 5.7% unemployment rate, and we saw about 240,000 or so new job hires, which I thought was interesting. Very weak in the area of oil, as I thought it would be, but the other areas were just really hot. I'm surprised we're still seeing these numbers after the retail season has gone and with all the layoffs that we're seeing in the energy sector. I find it very interesting.
So like, yeah, that is interesting.
That's it. Moan. I mentioned that China's economy is slowing, manufacturing is contracting, and now inflation is a 5-year low. So what's the result, you would think? Well, higher prices in China. Stock prices are zooming. Bad news is good news.
Stimulus. Yeah, yes. I don't know. We haven't really played too many Chinese stock. Oh, no, you do. You play them every once in a while. Some crazy. I think we have a Chinese stock on. Don't we have a Chinese stock on there still?
We had Weibo, I think, for a while. I don't think we had Baidu or Sina, Sohu. Let me think of the other ones that were there. Alibaba. Alibaba's coming out with a phone.
Oh, why? Following
in the footsteps of how great the Amazon phone did.
Yeah. Yeah. And the Yahoo phone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Is that even around anymore? And the Microsoft phone.
Well, the Microsoft phone's still around.
Yahoo phone's gone. Well, the Fire is still around, isn't it?
The what?
The Amazon Fire, or the Amazon, what was it called? Fire?
Yeah, the Fire.
Yeah, still around?
Yeah, I have one.
Yeah, but you never use it.
No, no, of course not.
No, it's just sitting in the corner somewhere.
Yeah.
So one of the things that's coming out tomorrow, Tesla. There was some murmurs about firings in China. You know, they said that there are numbers in China. Well, let me back up. One of the things we heard when Tesla finally got into the Chinese market that they were ordering cars without even knowing the price of the car. So there's a whole excitement that, well, my God, the amount of cars they're going to sell in China is going to be tremendous. And now we're finding out that the sales in China are much lower than anticipated. They're going to be firing some of the people that are involved in, I guess, in the marketing in China.
Yeah, probably because they never told anyone the price.
Maybe. What do you think?
We'll worry about it later.
How do you think the stock's going to do? No, I'm saying, how do you
that's
think?
That's a trick question nowadays.
Well,
it's going to skyrocket.
Yeah, it's going to skyrocket. Right. Well, he's a smart guy. I mean, he'll do what he has to do to make sure things go out well. Although, on the other hand, he's pretty realistic. I mean, he'll come out and say, hey, you know what? The stock price is a little bit high these days.
Yeah, he doesn't. Well, he doesn't want to experience a crash of his stock, and I think he's playing it well. He's got that part down.
He's a smart guy. He's a smart fellow. So tomorrow night, Tesla earnings will be coming out. I'm kind of curious of how that's going to play out.
And I think they're going to probably be good.
But what you do see with gas prices coming down as much as they have, that people are not as concerned about the consumption pricing. So, for example, we're seeing that once again. Truck sales are up, you know.
SUVs. Let's go buy a gas guzzler.
Right. So does that say people say, "Oh, maybe we won't buy the Tesla. Who cares? I don't care about saving money."
The Tesla buys. See, I think all the hybrid buys. You know, there's no real justification for buying an electric or a hybrid based on all this money you're going to save. Anyway, you know, you can just drive more carefully. You can just it all kind of evens out, and it's just more convenient, as far as I'm concerned, to have a gasoline car. And
but there's no question it's more convenient.
I think a lot of it's political. People buy these electric cars and these hybrids because they feel they're helping the environment. They justify it by buying one of these cars. And, you know, their position is, and then they drive around, and everyone knows that they're driving an electric car because they're very distinctive looking cars, all of them. And I don't think that's gas prices really changes that.
But this is like the 800 numbers. People think they dial an 800 number and it's free. You know, they drive an electric car thinking, oh, it's electric. It doesn't pollute.
Well, yeah, it's free. No energy. It's all free. Yeah, I just plug it in and it doesn't cost me anything.
Yeah, because electricity is a clean burning energy.
Yeah, not mentioning where the electricity comes from, a big coal-fired plant.
Right. I think there's a misunderstanding of this whole thing, but let's keep it that way. People don't know. Who cares? Let's see here. Oh, I had an interesting conversation with a listener about student loans and about the student loans outstanding, the incredible amount of student loans that are currently outstanding. And his contention was that with all of the student loans outstanding, today, and college costs and all the things that are going on, they're strangling this current generation, and therefore it's not good for the economy. So I say, well, what's the choice? I mean, does that mean that people don't go to school? If they don't go to school, how is that good for the economy? And he said, the problem is that while it is good for the economy to have more educated people, you know, entering into the jobs that they can enter into, the problem is that it takes them so long to pay it off that the economy will crumble under the fact that all these loans have to be paid off first before they can spend any money on anything else. The time when they graduate college and they start getting a job and all is the time they usually spend a lot of money. And now what they have to do is pay all this money into student loans. And I kind of agreed with him to a point.
I have always been on board with that thinking.
So what's the solution?
Well, for one thing, the solution is to make these loans cheap. It's a government loan. They can right now. They're usurious.
Yeah, yeah.
They're very expensive. Here's the solution. I think I said this before. It just came back to me. Make it so bankruptcy applies to student loans. You got a student loan. You got this. You got a credit card debt. You got all these things. You're technically bankrupt. You file for bankruptcy. Screw them.
Well, I mean,
right now they're immune. Why should a student loan be immune from bankruptcy proceedings?
Well, and the problem with that is that because they're federally subsidized, I guess, or the, you know, they're not private. But the thing is that
that's got nothing to do with bankruptcy law. Congress passed a law making them not liable to bankruptcy court. And that's bullcrap. They should be like everything else. If you're greatly in debt, you want to declare bankruptcy, you should be able to declare bankruptcy. There's no exceptions. You're broke.
Well, that being the case, then why would anybody issue a student loan with the fact that it's highly possible that somebody is not financially credible enough to actually pay for this in their time? Because you don't know. When you issue a student loan, you're not doing it based on income or based on assets. You're just doing it because they're going to school.
That would be exactly what should happen. Because the only reason tuitions and all the rest of this has been jacked up is because they know these kids will pay it because they got these student loans. This whole thing is a vicious cycle. Tuitions weren't until student loan mania came on the scene. Tuitions were reasonable.
Right.
Because you could only afford so much and you didn't have all this free money. But now all the free money shows up, they jacked up the prices and they just soak the kids. This is a scam.
It reminds me of the time when there was back in the, I think it was the 80s. You could actually go to, it's called premium financing. But what happened is that you can go to a life insurance company and say, you know, I want to buy $5 million of insurance. Okay, well, it's going to cost you $200,000 a year. Oh, but the company will actually finance that and give you a tax deduction for the interest. Therefore, what would happen is people would essentially spend over their means to buy the insurance because it would cost them only the interest. Same thing is happening here.
There's that element, yes.
They're taking out too much money and they're creating their own little market for it. Of course, the government's helping them.
No, that's the sad part. The government's supposed to help people, not create this vicious cycle of scamming the kids. I mean, now everyone's in on the game. The professors now have their own private books made that they sell for $100 a pop. The student has to buy it if they're going to take the course. All these things. I mean, it's beyond ridiculous. It's got nothing to do with education.
I agree. But it's part of the culture and part of the job environment and employment situation is that you need a college education.
I would say go find a good printer and get some templates and just give yourself a degree.
There we go.
I've said this before.
I knew there was an easy
solution.
Nobody
ever checks. It's a pain in the ass to check.
All right, so that's our solution. You know what? Don't do the student loan. Go out and go buy yourself a good HP printer. Go find a template and just do it yourself.
Yeah.
Rough it up a little bit or something like that. You know, make it look like it's not so. Yeah.
Exactly. Put in one of those holders.
A little frame. Yeah. Yelp. Yelp came out with earnings this week also. Terrible. Stock was down about 20%.
Yeah, Yelp. That's always a tempting short.
Yep, it's all over the place though. But then again, 2 days later, they come out and they buy a competitor to Grubhub, which is the food delivery service. How some of these companies get to be a public company worth billions is beyond me. For example, coupons.com. Retail Me Not. These are these coupon sites that came public and everybody was so excited about them. They just plunged again today. When they came out with earnings, I believe it was the coupons.com and RetailMeNot. Sale, SALE is one of the symbols, and COUP, I think, is the other one. Mm-hmm. But why these companies get to be such hysterical levels is just unbelievable. Like Shake Shack, 65 stores, and they're worth a tremendous amount of money already. So they bought them. So Grubhub goes down. Yelp goes up 7% because they bought the competitor. So now Yelp, I guess, is going to be self-marketing takeout and probably have all sorts of reviews. These reviews, I found out a lot about these reviews. You can buy these reviews so cheap, it's disturbing.
When Yelp began, and I believe I was the first writer that wrote about this company, it was, I thought, a great idea because at the time that Yelp appeared, if you went to a bunch of websites or like Microsoft Sidewalk and somebody's place, they would review these restaurants and you could see that there were a lot of anonymous reviews and you could tell a lot of these reviews were just the restaurant reviewing itself or the guy across the street saying the place sucks. And the thing about Yelp that you could see who the reviewer was, see what else they reviewed and see if you're in tune with them and then you could agree or disagree with the review. And that was kind of what it was about. It was like reviewing the reviewer more than reviewing the review. And it gave you a kind of a feeling whether this was good or bad. I thought that was a genius idea. And then as this thing got kind of critical mass and really went into high gear, it started to deteriorate. And then they came up with these schemes, and then they called people up and tell them, you should advertise with us and we'll get remove your bad reviews. And the whole thing has become something. I think it's not, I guess, illegal what they're doing, but it seems kind of sketchy. And I don't, now when anyone who knows Yelp and uses it long enough, you really have to be careful when you use it. It's not as slam dunk anymore. You got to really look into it. And I think overall, it's just not as useful.
Now, Jeff, that's the whole point. When you start having a situation where there's no trust, and this is what we talked about with the internet itself, where there's all this hacking going on. Anthem Healthcare was hacked, and there's all sorts of phishing schemes going on now. And we saw all these companies, like Home Depot get hacked and all these companies. Once you start getting into a downhill where, all of a sudden this company's getting hacked, this company's reviews are crap, they're bought or something like that. That's a big problem with the trust factor of this whole internet and the whole social media.
Yeah. No, I agree 100% with that.
Yeah.
And this is what happens. These guys, when they get too big, it's, this is... I don't know what they're going to do now. I mean, it sounds like they're getting into the food delivery business. And I, by the way, do not think that's a, I mean, I know that people, there's a lot of people, especially around here in Silicon Valley area. They're busy coding or busy doing something. And they have food delivery. So somebody delivers their food to them because they're too lazy to get up. This is my opinion. They're not busy. They're lazy to go to the store. No, they don't like to shop. Well, they don't like to go outside. So you get your groceries delivered, you get some food delivered from the pizza place, and you never have to leave your office. And that's very popular, especially in San Francisco. And this happened again. This is exactly what happened in the late 90s with the web van and the
Peapod,
yes.
Yeah.
And it was, they failed miserably after the things calmed down, after reality set in. And that's what's going to happen to these guys. And I think this was a bonehead move for Yelp to get into this business.
Well, we'll see what happens with that. But I agree that there is only so much room for all this. And but you know what? They're obviously, what's happening is they're looking for growth outside of their core business. A lot of these companies that just buy things on, because they don't have the growth anymore. That's a giveaway. Now, sometimes they can buy something that's very good. It's going to be an accretive transaction. They start making more money with it and all that. But when you see things, buying things like what Yahoo did or what AOL did or any of these companies that start buying companies like left and right, you know that their growth is stalling and they're panicking.
Yeah, they buy some of the dumbest stuff and then they shutter it.
Yep. It's a waste of money.
Well,
speaking about buying dumbest stuff, I bought a Ubiquiti Nano Wireless Repeater Access Point.
I think you talked about this before.
Yeah, just to let you know, a little heads up. Went through all the process, went through a lot of emails. They're telling me now that, you can't use this particular device with another device that has WPA security to access it. So the repeater won't work. I'm like, really? Why don't you have, why is that?
I thought the repeaters were just mostly pass-through.
They're pass-through, but you have to get to the other router and get authorization from the other router.
Right.
Well, the problem is that other router has a security passcodes, and they don't access it somehow. I don't know. Either that guy's an idiot. I can't figure it out.
Oh, so it doesn't work.
No. He says, plug it in. Put it right in. I said, that's not the point. I didn't buy it for that. I bought it so I can have a wireless repeater just stuck somewhere and just have a better signal.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got one.
So annoying.
I should have a couple. They work great, yep. But they're the same brand as the
motor, right? That's, yeah. That's what works well. You remember we talked about
this is a cut. By the way, that is a rule of thumb.
Right,
buy the same brand because there's always it works with everything. They never work with everything.
Yep,
it's not worth the aggravation.
I'll figure it out. I will figure it out. Let's see here. Remember the advertisements that we saw hidden in Barron's news story last week?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now New York Times, I don't know if it's still like this, but if you go to newyorktimes.com, let's see here. It takes a while to get there. The last time I looked, the whole top of the, it's not there. Oh, yeah, this Jon Stewart will be leaving The Daily Show. The whole top was an advertisement. I don't know where it went to. It's gone.
It'll be back. Somebody probably complained about it.
It was ginormous. Maybe the John Stewart.
Ginormous. Now you sound like Rachel Maddow. She always says that.
Oh, really? No, it was big then.
Whoops.
Phone ringing.
Yeah, let me turn that off. Keep talking.
Okay. Oh, there it is, the top. Ralph Lauren is on the top. It's not as big as it was before, though. It'll get bigger. I'm sure it will. All right, let's talk about Powerball. Very exciting. Powerball's up to about $450 million or so. Are you playing?
I don't know where I could buy a Powerball ticket.
Maybe they don't sell it in California. They sell it, don't they?
I think they do. I just don't know where to buy one.
What do you mean? Go to a 7-Eleven or something.
My chances of winning are exactly the same whether I buy a ticket or not.
But don't you have that excitement? You could be and maybe and $450 million, even if you get a few numbers.
Yeah, I think it'd be great. I mean, I'd love to have $450 million bucks out of the blue. Which probably amounts to about 140 after you're done with you, but it's still
over 30 years. It'd be $15 million a year.
Yeah.
That'd be nice, minus taxes.
I'd just take the lump sum.
Yeah, lump sum would probably be about half. So $200 million. You could do a lot with that. Yeah.
Okay, I just went to the New York Times. The whole front page is an ad for Ralph Lauren.
Yeah. See that?
It's a movie. It's a movie ad.
How annoying is that?
It's very annoying. It pushed everything down as this big movie for Ralph Lauren. And at the top, side to the New York Times logo, is Ralph Lauren collection. Says and there's a bag on the other side.
I don't know what they're thinking. Obviously, things are getting bad in the news industry.
Well, this is dumb.
Yep.
Now, how do I close this thing?
I don't think you can close it.
I went to AdBlock Plus.
Yeah.
I told you this already.
Yeah.
I use AdBlock Plus and Ad Nauseam as a combination. And it's not on this machine. This machine doesn't have a lot of stuff on it, except for the podcasting stuff. And it's great.
But you still got the ad.
No. This is the machine that doesn't have
it. Oh, it doesn't have it. I don't see a way to get rid of this either. This is kind of part of the page.
It says shop now. Yeah, I don't see any. It doesn't go anywhere close. And I just have to scroll past it.
This is a good 3/4 of the page on the first look.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Oh, well, we won't be going there again, will
NBC
we?
NBC suspends Brian Williams for 6 months without pay, which is a quiet way of getting rid of him.
So what did he do? He said he was on a helicopter that was taking fire when it wasn't happening.
Not only that, but he was shot down.
Oh, he was shot down too?
Well, we have three clips from him. One, he says he was taking fire, was hit by an RPG and it had to crash land. And he said that to Letterman, and he said it on one of his shows. And then we just discovered another clip where he's talking to Alec Baldwin about how he was in the helicopter as bullets were flying through the thing.
And when did this happen?
This is all within the last year or two. But when he was in, now they're looking into it, they find that he was full of crap about a bunch of stuff during the Katrina episode.
Uh-oh.
He said he saw somebody fall off the dome to his death, and then he said later said he didn't see that. And then she saved a puppy from a burning house, apparently, from somewhere or other. He's just one of these guys.
He doesn't look like that. Doesn't seem
I know
like
he
that.
Doesn't. That's the guys who are like pathological liars or exaggerators. It's very difficult to spot them by just their appearance. I'm always on the lookout for these guys.
I'm just reading the New York Times front page. There's some interesting things in here.
Anyway, continue. I'm sorry I interrupted with this.
Modi was defeated. A huge loss in the New Delhi election cranks up the enormous pressure on Narendra Modi's government to improve the lives of Indians. I have some. Remember I told you about the Indians? They're doing the toilet checks in India?
Yeah, it's funny.
It's true. I talked to somebody in India. He says, yes, it's true. They're checking for toilets. Powerball, yes. Athena House. Okay, let's take a look at the stocks. How don't we?
Yeah, I think
let's
we
take
should.
Over here. Do. This is a game that we play. You can find all of this on dhunplug.com. We have a Google spreadsheet where we track all of the performance of the various stocks. Let me see something here for a second. I want to see. Yep. The S&P is now up 0.47% after vacillating up and down throughout the year. NASDAQ's up 1% for the year, and the Dow Jones is up 0.26% for the year.
Mm.
This is after a 1% gain. So it was down till today, and then it started moving up. But this is a game that we play. It's not an offer to buy or sell any security. Please do me a favor. Do your homework before you buy anything. If you see something you like, because we mentioned it, don't just go out and buy it. I know people do that. But use a little bit of common sense. Find a financial advisor, somebody to talk to. Read the financials yourself, etc. John C. Dvorak, myself, or Horowitz Company clients may own any of the securities listed. We will duly note those. There you go. So GoPro, the number one position on the portfolio. You picked it 52% up after a fall from grace from 90 to 52%. Wow.
That's a good call.
Since when is that? That's
And that
October.
Wasn't done by insiders, which is my usual methodology. This right. was just done by valuation.
Right. It's over the top. Yeah. And that was down in October. Wow. Yeah. Not a long period of time. That's good. What else we got? Zotus came out with earnings today. Actually, they're going to be up after hours. I saw some nice numbers come out on Zotus, which is the animal supply company. American Assets Trust up 25%. Monster Beverage up 19%. Fleer up 12%, which is pretty good. IBM just doesn't go anywhere. Just doesn't. Yeah. You're up on it, but you're short. But it just doesn't.
It's like dead money.
Just won't. But it won't. It won't die. It just won't go.
It will.
When?
When it happens, we'll know. This is going to be a whopper.
Yep.
This thing's going to. It might be. I might be sitting in a good spot here. Not really losing anything at all, up a little bit. But
I just can't believe that. I guess eventually they're going to come back and like do an Amazon where they, you know, the earnings are much better and things look good. But man, it's just terrible. It didn't go down when it should have. It just stays right here. I mean, it was up. I guess it was up at 200 at one point. So yeah. We got stopped.
I think this is a good spot to be.
LinkedIn stopped out. Doug, the short of the short, up 11%. Cass Medical Systems. I think we got to close that out. I think you got stopped out on that. Down 18%. On the long, double long oil, up 17%. And if it goes down at all tomorrow, it'll probably be stopped out because it was down about 8% today, and we have that 10% rule in there. Yep. Syngivita, Biopharmaceuticals flat. Triangle Petroleum, nothing doing there. Down 8%. Interox, up 13%. I got to look at that one and see what the levels were in terms of the ups and downs there. Shake Shack, short, up 7%. Bank of New York Mellon, up 5%. I'm adding Twitter short for all the reasons I talked about today. So I'm sure you have some good tips, some things.
No.
No? You don't have anything?
I got nothing. In fact, I was looking for stuff, and I couldn't come up with anything that seemed reasonable. Let me give you some examples of the short stuff going on. I'm only going to mention this because it's kind of funny. One of these guys, I don't even know who this guy is, at Microsoft, Morfitt Mason.
Morfitt.
He just bought $40 million worth of... he's a director, I guess. He bought $40 million. In fact, this is Morfitt Mason, director of Microsoft. First, he bought $93 million, then $23 million, then $20 million, now $21 million of Microsoft stock.
Hmm.
Wow. And,
that's a lot of money.
Yeah, I would say. And meanwhile, on the same list of insiders, Bill Gates just sold, get the number for you. Well, he's buying. Bill Gates is selling, which seems to me I'd rather be on Bill Gates' side of the equation. He just sold $42 million worth of stock. And this is interesting. Mark Andreessen just sold $66 million worth of Facebook.
Wow.
That's a gift.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, what did he have to do with Facebook?
He was one
got in at the last minute with some founder shares.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he was one of the angels, wasn't he?
Andreessen, yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Andreessen Horowitz. All right. Well, if you have nothing, we're not going to push it.
Yeah, I know. I got nothing. I've been looking for something, and there's nothing out there. It's just I'm going to pass. I'll pass.
All right. You pass, and we'll post this, and we'll have all the list up there. Again, go over to DH Unplugged and check that out. Follow The Real Dvorak on Twitter, Andrew Horowitz as well, and send us your questions if you have any. And until next week, I bid you adieu.
I do to you.
See ya. Bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.